Prepare to be blown away by Ben and Ralph. Darmalars begins in T-minus 4, 8, 15, 16, 23, 42. The Darmalars podcast begins now.
Triumphant return of the Darmalars, starring me, Ben.
Darmalars?
Darmalars, yeah. Isn't it called Darmalars?
Darmer?
It's been so long, I can't.
I am Ralph.
We're back with our Freddie, our Prince Jr. podcast, right?
You're acting like we didn't do like 28 episodes during the hiatus.
Oh, that's true. That's true. My incompetence.
I did the math, and I think we did something like 3 a month on average was our average podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty good. So, hey, I'm Ben.
I'm Ralph again.
And we're back with the Darmalars.
We are, and today I looked at our format, and we'll let you know how the show goes.
All right.
This is a show for you new listeners about the show Lost.
That's right. We like to get together and talk about it.
And we discussed the episode that we watched last night, which was the end of the beginning, something Ooh. Like that. You know, for kids.
Yeah.
And then we talk about the next week on Lost, but if you're into spoilers or if you're not into spoilers, don't worry because we don't really pay attention to those.
All we really do is watch the preview.
Yeah.
Once.
Which this week was lame. And then we have a segment from Seattle Jimmy who will talk about the Lost score. And then that's about it.
Okay.
It's us saying goodbye, and then you guys saying hello on You All Everybody, a phone line segment. So
that's right.
That's our show. Hope you had a... catch you fuckers at a bad time. So anyway.
So how was... do we still talk about our week?
I don't even remember what we used to talk about.
We probably bullshit a little bit.
I saw the movie Rambo.
Oh, yeah?
Wasn't Matthew Fox supposed to be in that movie at one point?
I don't know. I don't remember.
He wasn't in it.
He wasn't?
No. Spoiler warning.
Uh-oh.
Matthew Fox isn't in Rambo.
Did Rambo pre-kill him?
I guess so.
Wow, that's pretty...
Cut him in half with bullets. If the number one Ultraviolet fan and zero-time listener, many-time callers, goes again or goes to see this movie, I will see it again.
Yeah, you'll go see it with those two guys?
Yeah, because it'll be a completely different experience.
I bet.
I don't know if Sunday mornings is a good time to see Rambo, because that's when all the vets come out.
Yeah.
With their animals.
Right.
And their sick kittens.
Yes, yes.
But I'd be willing to watch that again.
Stick it in your queue,
or go see it with me.
Yeah, I would go see it.
It's a movie. $5. What's it going to hurt?
Yeah, exactly.
Do you want to see the most gory film I've ever seen in my life?
Yes.
Ever?
Rambo?
Yes.
After all the horror films and Dead Alive. And
I claim that Rambo is more gory than Dead Alive.
Wow. That's strong.
It is strong.
Does he strap a lawnmower to his chest?
No. He straps a 50 cal to his chest and blows away guys in half.
Nice. Yeah, I'd go see Rambo. I haven't seen Rambo. I've never seen the Rambo films.
No, you don't need to.
Good.
You know what Rambo is.
Yeah, he's this dude that got pissed off and then, like, wigged out, right? And started killing people.
Yeah.
But, like, for a purpose.
Yeah.
He's killing bad guys.
Yeah.
Good for him.
Yeah, so.
That's what we need right about now.
Mm-hmm. Bad guys to be killed.
So. I went and saw the Mars Volta in San Diego.
Oh, yeah, that's right. How'd that go?
It was awesome.
You know, it was funny because I told you to, you know, lay it into Jay. And it just dawned on me that you were in San Diego.
Yeah, even better.
Even laid on even more.
And does he like Jack in the Box? Or is that?
Yeah, everyone loves Jack in the Box.
Yeah, I ate Jack in the Box that day too.
And
or at least I could have
a Western bacon cheeseburger and In-N-Out.
Yep, that was my day.
Also, I had a heart attack and died. Mars Volta concert.
I was pretty full during the concert.
Did the dude sing like a girl?
He sang all over the place. It was insane. It was so
Was it a performance of Cats?
Yes.
That came out and he came out into the crowd. He sang all over the place.
He was all over the place. He was up in the balcony me for a little bit. At one point, he was singing from Portland, Oregon. That was weird, I thought.
Not in Portland.
Not in Portland. It was cool. When it started, we were about like 10 feet back of the stage. Uh-huh. There's this place called Soma in San Diego, which is in it used to be a strip mall. It still is a strip mall.
Ooh, kinky.
It's like right next to a donut shop and like a framing store in this old and it's like very small venue. So it was, super loud and super cool, but we're like 10 feet back. The lights went out. Lights came back on. They were on stage and I was 5 feet back and I was being shoved back and forth and left and right. And I could not stand up under my own feet. I had to take steps. I had to walk every time someone pushed me. It was like being in a sea of people. It was crazy.
Cool.
So we backed off for a little bit, but we enjoyed the show.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was a good time. It was the best concert I've been to this year.
Uh-huh. Burp. Anyone want to hear an update on my mouth?
Yeah, are you better? You seem better.
last weekend, my jaw... was starting to be all better.
Good.
Except for one spot that wasn't better. So I'm like, I wonder why this one spot isn't better. And why my tongue is sore.
And were you like poking at it?
No. My tongue is rubbing against it, making it raw. So apparently, I thought it was a bone splinter.
Oh.
But it wasn't. So that's the good news.
That is good news.
But there were some like rough edges on my jawbone and it was coming through the skin.
Oh, no.
Yay. So they sanded it down so that I can heal over it and do a podcast without slurring my speech on my other podcast and last week's podcast.
I'm very grossed out by them sanding down your living bone.
It was like they used sandpaper.
Sure.
It was like a carpenter's tool. You know when they make the surfboards
like
out
a
of wood?
Lathe? Oh, like yeah, they put like, sex wax on your jaw?
Yeah.
Wait, were they hanging 10 in there?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, no, I understand that.
So, it was, yeah.
That's rough. But so, better now, right?
I can eat kind of solid foods, kind of.
Kind of solid foods?
Kind of sucks because it prolonged my not being able to eat solid foods.
Well,
so,
and that, those are the best foods.
Yeah.
I would argue.
Yeah. That was the beginning of the end of my solid food eating.
Yeah. Well, speaking of the beginning of the end.
Heinous segue.
Yeah, well, we're there already.
Yeah. I mean, I don't need to talk about gross stuff.
No. Right? No, I mean, I think we've got more than enough bone splinters and jaw sanding and mouths full of sex wax. So let's talk about last night's episode of Lost.
All right, let's do so.
Now should you expect to see something that you hadn't seen in somebody you've known since you were 16? If love is it bought from the blue, then what is it bought but a glorified screw that doesn't hold nothing together? Far from these nonsense bars, and it nowhere music, it's making me sick. I know it's making you sick.
Episode 4X01.
That's right. Shit, yeah. I need to take notes.
Yeah.
I don't even know where my notebook is.
I know where my notebook is, and it's empty. Well, I mean, it has no notes for last night's episode.
To be
more accurate.
here's what happened. Here's what happened this time around. Last time we were at Dharma Lars, we would either take notes.
Yes.
Watch the episode twice.
Uh-huh.
Or do both.
Yeah.
Today,
generally both.
I watched the episode once and took no notes.
I don't think I'll be able to watch it twice with the production schedule, but I'll give it a shot maybe on my lunch break on Fridays.
Oh, I see. With the podcast?
With the podcasting schedule.
I thought you meant like the lost schedule.
No. No, I don't want to talk about the lost schedule just yet.
It's happening next week!
So Lost is back. That was good.
It's totally back.
I thought it was a 2-hour episode. I had heard that. And yeah. We were building up fast forward space.
Liars.
We were building up fast forward space. We turned to it at like 8:30 and found out it was a recap.
Yeah.
But before we found out it was a recap, I noticed that it wasn't recording. And I had like a brief moment of panic. Like, did I just miss like half an hour of new Lost? No, I just missed half an hour of Ben Linus narrating a recap. So
yeah.
It worked out okay for me.
I love,
Yeah, word.
Ryan, producer Ryan, who's with us, said that Ben's DVR sucks.
To which I replied, yeah, word.
We heard that part.
Yeah. No, but now I'm putting it in context.
Okay. The recap, it's just funny because I was talking with someone today and I was saying how the recap should, like when Michael Emerson's talking about it, mm-hmm. the recap, when he starts talking about Ben Linus, he should throw in little things like, and Ben Linus, the leader of the others, who happens to have a large penis. I think. Just throw one of those
in.
Yeah,
there. Something like that. Just
it'd be
once.
Really funny. Something for the fans. Did you catch? Did you? Did
Cox
Ben
Linus steps up to the camp.
Did you catch the Wednesday deal?
No,
God, that thing was a fucking waste of time.
Really?
Yeah.
I taped it, but I haven't gotten around to it yet.
Ben's got the hiccups.
I'm cartoon drunk. I've been drinking out of a bottle with three X's on it for an hour and a half now, so.
Oh, Jesus.
You're right, Ryan. I'll turn my head. Fuck, dude. Get off my back. This
stop
guy, Ryan, here.
Stop producing the show, Ryan.
Stop telling me not to make biological noises.
Biological?
Oh, my God. Sure. Okay, Mom. I'll stop. If it makes you feel better. OCD over here. Fucking
OCP?
Oh, yeah, freaking Ryan. The
OCP
OCD.
Runs the cop. You're the cop.
He's OCP pants.
Clarence Boddicker.
So we start off with Jorge.
Well, it's funny because I was watching with Kelly and Aaron, and me and Stevie are fans of the show Lost.
Yes.
And pay attention to the show Lost. And as soon as we saw the Camaro.
Yes.
I said, oh, hey, that's Hurley.
Yeah.
And then I didn't realize that they're trying to make it dramatic later.
Oh, because it was a reveal.
And then like Kelly and Aaron are like, yep.
Yep.
It certainly is.
Well done, Ralph. Well, hey, it was a pretty big plot point in that episode that we did a commentary for.
Yeah.
The car.
Yeah, that's right. So, and for those of you new listeners, check out the commentary that Jorge sat in on with us for Trisha Tanaka's Dead.
Yeah, exactly.
On your dumb left on it.
The Oceanic Six, dude.
The Oceanic Six. It sounds like a team from the 20s.
It sounds like some superhero squad.
Yeah.
Oceanic Six.
Aquaman, Namor, Aqualad.
Black Manta. He's reformed.
And Aqualad again.
Yeah.
Aqualass. Is there an Aqualass?
There is an Aqualass.
And then Aqua Woman.
There's got to be one from Marvel. Oh, you did Namor, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. That'll do. That's the Oceanic Six. Damn. Danny Oceanic Ryan. Six, says Ryan. I forgot that they can't hear you.
I know. I'm going to start being OCP to Ryan.
Yeah.
Stop talking if you're not on a mic, guy. We'll get you a mic. Don't worry.
So the Oceanic Six, I assume, are the ones that survived or got rescued or whatever.
Yeah.
So we know it's got to be Kate and Jack, or at least we assume it is.
Kate, Jack,
and
Hurley.
And then three others,
Dead guy.
The dead guy, probably, yeah.
Locke.
You think Locke?
Yes, Locke. And why would he have the guns in a truck in further instructions? It's a flash forward. It has to be.
You think it's a flash forward? And
why
that proves that it's Locke.
Why would Locke have his guns before he lost the use of his legs? Why would he have a whole thing of guns if he's not if he says he's a hunter? He wasn't a hunter before the island.
That's right. Yeah,
even on the island, he still believed in knives.
Okay, so that's even more interesting because, I mean, granted, the mystery we're being presented with now is what happens to them to get them to this state where obviously there's some sort of conspiracy of silence and Hurley wants to go back and then later Jack wants to go back.
Mm-hmm.
Hurley's plagued by visions still from the island, which, is he just being Hurley who's crazy, still seeing things, or is it the island still projecting all the way out to him? And, what we're left to figure out is what happens in between. And it would be amazing if Locke got off the island because that's even more of what must have happened in between because he was so intent on staying.
Uh-huh. The bunker, a.k.a. the hatch, gave Desmond powers.
True.
Locke was different, right? Locke, after the explosion? Implosion of the hatch?
Well, he went on that dream quest, but, who knows? He could have done that before, possibly.
I'm wondering if I'm wondering if something happened with Charlie.
When that hatch exploded?
Yeah.
By the way, I know you don't like calling them hatches, but the blueprints, I saw this on the recap, the blueprints say, like, looking glass hatch.
That's ridiculous.
I don't know if they're the blueprints for the door to the looking glass station.
That's
or if
ridiculous.
It was the full blueprint, but... Yeah, I noticed that last night. I was like, well,
stop,
Ralph, you're
stop
wrong.
Stop calling it that.
It's
not an underwater hatch. It should be an underwater moon pool. If they're going to be calling it by its entrance.
If it's going to call...
You know? The moon pool doesn't even have a hatch.
Remember when Locke was eating chicken inside Ben Linus's door? That place was great. I think that the thing that affected Desmond wasn't the bunker exploding itself as much as it was the anomaly that was already there when they put the bunker there.
Okay.
And unless there was a similar one in the looking glass, I don't think it could have affected Charlie. I think
no, but Charlie was at the Swan when it imploded.
Oh, yeah, he was deafened. That's a good point.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
He was in the vicinity. You're right.
Yeah, we never got a special power from him.
No, that's true. I mean, other dead people have shown up. Ana Lucia.
Yemi.
And I still maintain that these, whatever they are, if they are just a projection of the person that's seeing them, sometimes they bring new information that person has no business knowing.
Yeah.
So something's happening.
Like the horse, the black horse.
Exactly.
The boar.
Yeah.
And wasn't there, who else had a little, the cat? Saeed's cat in Enter 77.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So when Charlie shows up and it freaks Hurley out, he's still carrying a burden of guilt, apparently, which is interesting to me because clearly he did what he thought was right by Charlie by taking that separate group with Locke.
Yeah.
And he made a whole impassioned speech to get more people to go with Locke because he was trying to do right by Charlie. So I don't know why he was... I mean, obviously he's freaked out because Charlie's dead. He's not supposed to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he has like the history of like having seen Dave, and you know he doesn't want
to. I'm hoping that Charlie's the new Dave and shows up often.
That'd be cool.
Also, so talking about fake people, let's talk about the visit by Jack and the visit by
the lawyer guy.
The lawyer guy.
Quote.
Now, the lawyer guy, I would assume is real because he was introduced by the caretaker.
Right.
Right?
I believe so.
Jack just walked in. Granted, he's a surgeon, and I'm sure they'd grant him access, and he did have a tag.
Yeah, but Hurley could imagine a tag if he's imagining Jack.
Exactly.
But
exactly.
He said, I'm going to grow a beard, and then later, I assume it's later. I assume through the looking glasses later than last night's episode.
Yes.
And he does grow a beard, but...
Because we actually do see Jack in his home drinking a
vodka and
what's that called?
Juice.
Screwdriver. Screwdriver. So,
which
we know he's definitely at the beginning of the episode is really there and is in a different state than through the looking glass.
I don't know
about when Charlie hangs out with him because Hurley played basketball with Dave.
Yeah, that's true.
So
that could have been a sign to us. I don't know. I think it was really Jack. I think Jack goes through some sort of arc where obviously whatever happens on the island happens. And then whatever is happening in through the looking glass is happening to him. And he's now at the stage where he's still kind of in denial. He's still trying to keep up their silence. And he's legitimately concerned that Hurley's going to spill the beans.
Yeah.
And he's there to be a dick and tell him not to, essentially.
Yeah. And then Jack's going to realize that that's not the best way to go.
Yeah. So does something happen to Hurley? Is it Hurley in the coffin?
I've always said it. So.
Good. That would be one thing, because at that point, he wants to go to the funeral, and now he's convinced that what Hurley told him was true.
Mm-hmm.
He can't go back to Hurley and like try to work with him. He's been trying to find the place by himself.
Yeah.
Interesting. Hurley mentions that when he comes back, he's going to be free from the money, because everyone thinks he's dead.
Yeah.
Doesn't it take like 7 years to be dead? To be declared legally
dead? It takes
dead?
Forever to be dead. Wait.
If they know that you're on a plane that went down, they can legally declare you dead that moment, like September 11th.
Way to bring down the room, Ryan. Jesus Christ.
Well, I was just going off of whatever old Hitchcock plot I saw that told me 7 years. Who knows if even that was
the 7-year
the 7-year death. The 39 deaths. I liked that Hurley, when he summons his concentration, mm-hmm. and you know makes himself courage, he can not see the cabin anymore, and he cannot see Charlie anymore. He can make him go away.
Yeah.
And I think that's just an effort of focus. Like, you have to be receptive to see the visions, maybe.
Yes.
And if you can focus your brain and not be receptive.
I think you have to have an open mind.
Yeah.
And you need the imagination. It's like Peter Banning and Hook, right, Ryan?
Yeah, it is. Bangarang, Ralph. Good point.
So, anyway.
I also like that he counted to 5 to do that. Much
yes.
like Jack and Kate. So, that's why Kate was able to make the monster leave her alone.
Yeah.
In the very back of the pilot.
Oh, I just assumed he was getting away from the numbers.
Yeah, he's on a new set of numbers.
I'm going to count to 8.
No!
Want to talk about the cabin?
I do.
Go for it.
Two people in the cabin, huh?
I don't know. You know, people said, hey, I saw Christian Shepherd in the cabin. Hey, it's locked. Stevie said it's Locke's eye. And I didn't even bother to
go back
and look.
It was too damn fast for me.
I didn't go back and look at all.
Yeah.
So.
It was Jacob, definitely.
Okay.
Rocking in the chair. And Hurley saw him instantly, right? Okay.
Yeah.
So already he's better than Ben Linus.
Yeah.
Or at least more in tune with whatever's going on than Ben mm-hmm. Linus.
Mm-hmm. Is this going to be...
You think it's Christian... Ryan thinks it's Christian Shepherd. He says, it is.
Okay.
Fair enough.
Okay, whatever.
Oh, whatever. He went online.
I looked at a picture. I didn't see shit. Whatever, Ryan. Whatever.
So...
Okay, Ryan says Christian Shepherd. Ben says Jacob. I don't really...
No, I said it was Jacob in the rocking chair.
Oh.
I don't...
What was Christian?
He was the one that came up to the window.
Oh.
No?
Ryan's
no.
saying Christian is Jacob.
Okay.
Christian's in the chair.
I see. I just assumed it was
Johnny's
Jacob.
In the corner. What is that movie?
Put Baby in the corner?
I don't know. Fuck it.
Dirty Dancing?
Squirty Dancing.
Were you...
I don't even know why I said that. I don't even know what it means, but Ryan enjoys it. It sounds gross.
I saw a Photoshop movie poster today for The Script Reader with the Huge Cock starring Brad Pitt, which reminds me of your Ben Linus Huge Cock comment. How did that one get green lit? Were you able to keep it together, Ralph, or did you squeeze a few out?
I squoze a few out
as well. It was very sad. And Ryan did too.
I was talking to someone earlier today, and they asked me that exact question. And I said, it's funny because I had something in my eye the entire episode. But the good thing is that the tears washed it out.
Oh, yay.
So it was, I was sitting there watching the episode, and I said, God damn it, stop saying Charlie's name.
Yes.
Stop it. You're fucking killing me. Stop yeah. saying it.
It's too much.
I didn't get emotional when Charlie died at all.
I did
at
a little.
All, at all.
I
and
did
then,
a little. But
then last night, seeing everyone's reaction to him dying killed me.
That was huge. Yeah.
Killed me.
Yeah. It's different. You know what? It's different because Charlie dying, we kind of knew it was coming.
Uh-huh.
And he was doing something good. And also we were thinking, why? What? Just go out the window.
But in the
something.
Recap episode, they showed the scene where Desmond says, you have to drown if you
yeah.
want everyone to get saved.
Exactly.
So that's the answer.
But
he felt that he had to drown in order for everyone to get rescued.
Yeah, he did. And it was a selfless sacrifice.
Yes.
And you know,
even though we knew that Charlie was going to die because of all of Desmond's visions.
Yeah.
And because Charlie was on a date with death, like he was ready to go, he's done.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that everyone else knew that on
no,
the
no,
show.
But what I'm saying
so
is...
So it was, you forget that.
Yes.
Not everybody understands yeah. that Charlie is going to die.
Right.
You
only
kept that
Desmond
secret.
Knew.
Yeah. And...
Yeah. And so it's different. It's different for us watching it, something that we knew was going to happen, mm-hmm. as opposed to us watching people reacting to it, people that didn't know what was going to happen.
Yeah.
And that's where the real impact was. And yeah, it was more emotional for me than when he actually died.
Yeah. Great episode. I'm glad that we got to see pretty much everybody.
Yeah.
I think last year's season opener had just Jack, Kate, and Sawyer.
Yeah, last year it took a while to get the whole gang back together.
Yeah, but it was nice to see everyone together.
It was. I was having a hard time getting as fired up for it as I wanted to be. Because I knew that it was the first of only six episodes mm-hmm. for like a year.
But you know what's cool about it is this is the first premiere episode that wasn't Jack-centric. Usually you have to wait a really long time to get the really good Hurley stories.
That's true.
And the fact that we got one right off the bat was a nice change of pace.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point.
And the flash forward was awesome.
Yes.
And it totally put a whole new spin on the show.
Yeah.
It feels like the beginning of the end is, okay, you have all these questions. Now it's time for answers. You made it this far. There was a few questions in the show, but not really. Not really too many questions raised, but I mean...
Nothing major that I wasn't already asking since Through the Looking Glass.
Yeah. But there wasn't, like, the only thing we don't know is who's Jeremy Davies. Who are the people that's not Penny's boat? Like, who are those people?
Oh, we were going to talk about the lawyer guy. And who's he? Is he with the not Penny's boat people?
I don't know. I have no idea. But I know he's real.
He's real.
He might be who he says he is.
He scarpered too quickly for that.
He might be. You don't know. I don't know. Maybe he could be one of the not Penny boat guys.
Why would Oceanic care if people are still on the island? They'd probably make an effort to go find them.
Well, obviously, there's some sort of cover-up where 815's sitting in the trench.
Yeah.
And Oceanic has six people who claim they're on Oceanic.
Yeah. And who say that what we so get
they're
from
trying
her...
So they're just trying to keep it hush.
Yeah. It seems to me like the whatever story they... What's that?
Ryan said everybody knows them, the people who are on...
Well, he knows the six that we're on, but what I was about to say is it seems like there's no story of surviving on the island with all of the others. It seems like their story is that the six of them were the only ones that lived. Because mm-hmm. he says, I never met Ana Lucia, and when her partner, Bull from Bad Brothers, he asks, did you meet her on the plane or before the flight? He doesn't say anything about after. So it seems like the official story is that only the Oceanic Six survived the crash, which is also very interesting, which means no Desmond.
Yeah. Which means,
no
mean,
Rousseau?
Desmond.
What's that?
Yeah, but Desmond could, yeah, I don't know.
No Rousseau, no others. I think someone I was talking to is saying, what if what it was is that they were like, the chopper comes in, and they get six people on board and fly away to Not Penny's boat, mm-hmm. and then can't find the island again.
I hope it's the SS Not Penny's.
.com.
it really needs to be that. What? I'm sorry.
My mom sent me a text message in the middle of the show saying, are these motherfuckers seriously going to make us wait six episodes to find out who the other three are? I was like, you're lucky if it's going to be only six.
I turned my phone off during Lost.
I forgot. Like, I was reading it and I was like, oh my God, it's about Lost. What am I thinking? But I wasn't in the past anymore. I was caught up with live TV. So.
Okay. Because we wait 20 minutes so that we catch up live at the very last scene.
The last commercial break.
Yeah. 42-minute show over the span of an hour.
Yeah.
Math. It's math, Ryan. I'm good at it.
We
sometimes.
Tried to do that, but we were very anxious. We were chomping at the bit.
Yeah.
So it was good to have Lost back.
Very good.
Yeah.
And Jeremy Davies, for those of you folks who listen to our show over the summertime and the wintertime, there's a movie that I suggested called CQ, and he's the star of that film. And he is the guy who lands in on the island at the end with the beard.
The parachutist. Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's Upham on Saving Private Ryan.
Huh, cool.
So,
well, welcome to the show, Jeremy.
Yeah, it's pretty dope. Yeah. He seems pretty greasy and creepy.
He sure
so
does.
So that's pretty dope.
Yeah.
I'm pretty fired up on new villains. Even though Ben Linus is... First of all, a couple of things I want to mention. Ben Linus' one-liners...
Awesome.
If you don't mind, Jack, I'd like to go with Locke. What's fucking hilarious. This is so
like,
much
I would have
awesome
told
stuff.
You, but you were going to hit me.
Yeah. Jorge Garcia's performance in this episode.
Outstanding.
The best of the series.
Yeah, it was really
his
really
his
well
personal
done.
Best of the series.
A lot of range, too.
Yeah. He was
scared.
He was swimming.
Right. Cannonball.
He was torch bearing.
No, he was frustrated. You know, he was tortured. He was.
It was mostly he was sad.
There wasn't a lot of that.
There wasn't a lot of joking.
No.
Which is normal. I mean, we see that side of him, but
he wasn't happy. Good time, Hurley.
Yeah, it was cool. I mean, it's got to be awesome to be able to start off the big premiere,
right off the bat, with
big premiere after, you know, 8 months. It's like, wow, I'm out there.
This that must be cool episode. To get out there and be like, okay, can I have the script for this week? And they're like, here you go. And it's like, hey, me, I'm the star. I'm a Mario. I'm going to win. It must be cool to say that, you know?
Yeah.
What did you think of Naomi dying like that?
I don't know.
She was like killed in the knife with Locke, and then she gets up and then she dies.
Well, see, we were gone for 8 months. Right. They were gone for 10 minutes. So I think she wasn't killed, but maybe I'm just going to lay here and play cool until I can crawl away.
Okay.
Because if I got stabbed in the back like that and I were surrounded by people that I didn't know, I'd play it cool for a little bit.
I'm just going to lay here for a minute.
And if they decided to check my pulse, I'd wait for them to get really close and then go, ah! Like they do in movies every time. Jerks.
Jerks. Dead jerks.
No. But whatever. I don't know why. Here's what I don't understand. I understand her playing dead and crawling into the thing to get away. I don't know about climbing a tree.
I don't know about doubling back and climbing a tree. That's a lot to do with a knife in your back.
She must not have gotten stabbed too hard.
She got lightly stabbed.
Oh, but she got healed. Yay!
Yay!
It's the force of Lost.
Yeah, but then it left her at a very crucial time when she still needed it.
When she died.
She was. She stuck around just long enough to reconfigure the thing.
The satellite phone?
That too. Yeah.
Oh, 3 minutes. Okay. Anyway, I don't really know what else to say. I wish I would have watched it again. I promise next week I'll watch the episode twice before putting a professional show on the internet.
I didn't pick up any like Easter eggs or. You know, I didn't see any like. Major stuff.
Christian Shepherd, apparently.
I didn't see that. I'll have to go back and watch that again.
Ryan's trying to distract me. Does this have to do with the show? What is this?
He printed something out, and he's showing Ralph the
print. Oh, yeah. Was that Hurley's boss? Okay. I noticed that, too. I actually noticed that. I'm glad you brought that up. When Hurley crashed into the gold Pontiac Bonneville. At the end of his car chase. You all know the gold Pontiac Bonneville, right?
Yeah, it hit Locke?
It hit Locke, Kate ran into it, and it hit Michael.
It's one of the three cars in Hawaii.
But when he did that, he crashed through like a fruit stand or something, but I saw Randy. I thought I saw Randy standing in the parking lot like doing something, sweeping or something.
He's got a camcorder. Ryan printed it out. That's crazy.
Ryan printed this out and showed me. He probably could have told me before.
Randy Nations just can't escape Hurley. Your brother's friend is Randy Nations?
Your brother's
Nations?
Friend?
That's cool.
My friend's Jorge Garcia.
You guys have a connection there.
Uh-huh. We got to get these two together.
I think that'd be extraordinarily bad.
So anyway, the beginning of the end.
Beginning of the end.
This is not the beginning of the end of the Darmalars because we are going to talk about next week.
Next week on Lost.
Rosarita, I laid on your beach. Dreaming, drinking tequila.
Next week on Lost, the television show.
next week on Lost.
Wait, next. Say it again.
Oh, it's called something death.
Confirmed, next week on
confirmed
Lost.
Dead? Confirmed dead, maybe?
Something dead.
Confirmed dead, I think, is what it's called.
Okay, wait, go again. You start.
Previously on
the
Lost.
Something dead is called.
I believe. Okay, here's the thing. This is our first Star Wars show in 8 months, and we decided, hey, let's look at the format. But we forgot what goes into each format, including the title of the episodes.
A slight amount of
that's
looking
one
ahead.
Of the things I always do is, oh, I better get the episode for next week. I think it's called, I want to say it's called Confirmed Dead. If it's not, then I'm sorry, guys. You know what? Right now, go on your TV, and I'm sure the info's up already.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. You don't need us. I don't even know why you're listening.
It's like the quantum of dead or something.
Like sure. Karaoke of solace.
Yeah, that's what it is. That's okay. Now
we're going to talk about that later. Okay. I need to get some people on board with that. So next week on Lost, some episode that's happening. In the preview, I saw Jeremy Davies.
Yes.
I saw another guy.
Yeah, like another guy from Not Penny's Boat.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I don't remember this one at all. Did you remember any of it?
No.
Did Kate and Jack hug?
It's, yeah, like there's...
Did she steal another phone?
And there's like flashbacks and flash forwards of one character.
Oh,
so
who?
It's going to be like a character-centric episode.
Really?
Yeah, I assume. I don't know.
What do you know? Tell me. What are you basing
this on? I don't remember.
I'm asking. Okay. That's what I asked. Do you remember anything that you saw?
No, I don't remember anything that I saw.
So there you have it. That's what's happening next week on Lost. We have no information. No information. This is going to make next week's show so much stronger.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, by comparison, right?
It's like you know, planting seeds in some bullshit.
Planting shit seeds.
To grow into a beautiful shit tree.
To sprout turds.
Like
anyway.
Like a shit artichoke.
You don't give a crap what we have to say about next week. You're going to see it anyway.
Yeah, we're not spoiler enough for the people that want spoilers.
And because we're so unprofessional and we're being effing artards right now.
Mm-hmm.
Let's send it over to someone who's not an artard, who's well-spoken, and has actual thoughts that he can convey through his mouth.
Like someone that puts things together with forethought and...
and words.
Production values.
Uses words.
And malice.
And sentence fragments.
Hmm.
Wait.
Let's
not sentence. Let's do that. For those of you uninitiated, because you don't know. People
are
on board.
It could be new to some people.
It could be new. It's new to you. We're going to send it over to Seattle Jimmy. And this week's edition of The Lost Score. Take it away, Jimmy.
Yeah, I'm very aware of your predicament, I know. Yeah, but look, you've got to understand my position, don't you? All right, it's fine.
You know, they've been outside my apartment all morning. I mean, there's nothing I can do about it. I told them, it's time. We do have a job to do. Hello, everybody. It's Jimmy here in Seattle, back after obviously a long break. Credit where credit is due, being played from season one in the background. And I'll give credit where credit is due to the writers. I'm minus my writer this morning, so this is all off the cuff, of course. But yeah, they've stuck it out. And I think we've all been pretty much supportive of them, but it's been hard on our souls, hasn't it? Nice to be back. There's a lot to talk about because we have a lot of new subscribers, and I want to explain to them very briefly what The Lost Score is about, what we do, and why Darmalars rock. Here we go. It's only a short one. Hold tight.
Every episode of Lost has a remarkably deep musical score. In fact, it's probably fair to say that Lost has the highest produced music and the highest music budget of any contemporary show on television at this present time. Michael Giacchino, who's an Oscar-nominated composer, is the man responsible. In fact, he's nominated this year in the Academy Awards for Best Musical Score with Ratatouille, which I know many of you have seen. In fact, I've yet to see that. At the Dharma Lars, every week, there is a segment called The Lost Score. This is it. We examine the music, take a close look. We talk about new themes, talk about variations on themes, we look at influences from other composers. Importantly, we see where the music may be going. Lost is famous for its mysteries, but the reality is, there are mysteries contained within a musical score that can be unravelled. We've seen many, many theme progressions, particularly over season 3. I suggest that if you dip back into our previous episodes, either on iTunes or at dharmalars.net, you will be able to find and listen to many of the segments that we did in the past where we identified these new themes, influences, etc., etc. The fact of the matter is we really tear the music to pieces. I mean, for example, listen to this. Oh, I'm being a bit of a tease, actually. It's an element of Kate's theme. It should sound familiar, actually. So as mentioned, if you jump back into our old episodes, you'll find out why that little piece you heard there is directly related to Bernard Herrmann and Alfred Hitchcock. It's all there, 27 episodes. Never mind my dodgy piano playing, here's the real deal. That's a bit more like it, isn't it? That is Crocodile Lock from season 1. It's available on iTunes. I've picked this theme apart as well in many ways, and in a matter of days I'm going to talk about something that happened to this theme over season 3. It actually morphed. There was a new melody that got inserted on the top, and particularly Ralph and myself quite a firm opinion as to where it's going. Now, I'm going to talk about that in a few days. What's he talking about? Well, I'll tell you. The Lost Score is in two segments. We have the segment that comes on with the Dharma Lars, and then we have a midweek show. It's good, actually, because you get a little bit more time to actually listen to the music of the episode and see what happens. We have a very, very quick turnaround, and it does take a little more time sometimes to get the music segment out. And hey, two's better than one, right? So, with any luck, on Tuesday or Wednesday, which of course is the day before the Lost episode, you will get a recap of what happened in the previous episode, plus anything else we find out. We'll talk about what might be coming, what might have been, what it all means, and a few other things as well. Sometimes the Lost score does make it to the LPN, Lost Podcasting Network. Sometimes it doesn't, but it's always on the Dharma Lars feed, so I do encourage you to subscribe specifically to the Dharma Lars, the one and only. And I'll take this opportunity to mention that you can also get all the standalone episodes if you look at your screens or your iPhones at the Ripples Dip podcast as well. Plus, there's some more stuff non-Lost related on its way there, so feel free to subscribe to that as well. It's my own little thing. It's a shameless plug. Why not? Once again, that's Ripples Dip, available on iTunes. Or you can go to the iTunes store and type Seattle Jimmy. I was quite surprised that worked too. Quick thoughts on the premiere of season 4. I have to say, I thoroughly enjoyed the episode. I know a few people were disappointed that there wasn't a jaw-dropping start. My answer to that is, so what? I can tell you, I did think that the acting was particularly good. Jorge made me cry a little, actually. Not much. Kind of a Hillary Clinton in New Hampshire type of cry. I'd also like to say that Charlie's shorter haircut actually suited him quite well. I think the only real stretch was the fact that moments before Naomi died, she somehow managed to climb a tree and pounce on Kate. Speaking of Kate, didn't Evangeline look great? I think it's all that mud. Anyway, It's time to go. I'm going to see you in a few days. It's nice to be back. Whatever you're doing, be good, be safe, and namaste.
Demi.
Thank you. Jamesy.
Oh, man.
He changed his name to something else.
Yes.
So, that's our show for this week.
That is our show
for this week. Tune in next week where we'll probably have notes or watch it a second time.
Or both. Or, you know.
Or both.
Or neither. Maybe
we'll watch it. I'll take notes. You watch it two times. Or we'll both we'll watch it four times collectively.
Right.
Well, I guess, and then Ryan will watch it once, so it's like five times.
That's like five times.
And then we'll take, I'll take one notes, and then, I don't know. This show is awesome.
Yes, it is. So
I wish we could do Stick It In Your Queue, because that's so much easier to do now because of all the shows we did previously.
It is.
Before we go, though.
We should give out our contact info.
Yes, but first, if you listened to our show last week.
The Karaoke of Solace.
There was some karaoke by me, and that's going to probably be the only time I do karaoke until we get more participants like you submitting your own karaoke to us.
Ooh.
And then we'll play those after the You All Everybody segment.
And you could do that by calling us at 206.
No.
Don't do that.
Don't do that.
You can do that by sending us audio files?
Yes.
Send us an audio file.
I want it to sound great. Like, this is like, it should be like as good a quality as mine last week.
We don't want anyone singing on the phone. That's just going to sound bad.
Yeah. There's probably already singing on the, are you listening to the calls this week, Ryan? Or is there singing? Okay.
So send an audio file of you doing a karaoke bit.
Yes.
To darmalars@gmail.com.
darmalars@gmail.com. You could also just send us regular emails there, too.
Yeah. Emails, pictures, stories. It's fun.
It's fun, you know, for kids. Also, you can join, you can be our friend on MySpace.
That's right. Join the Dharma Larmy.
Yes. At myspace.com/DharmaLars.
Ever growing.
Yes. Also, you can go to DharmaLars.net. Why am I struggling right now?
If you'd like to call and tell us your theories about this episode or your response to our take on this episode or future episodes, go ahead and give us a call at 206-338-4261.
That's correct.
And you can leave a message there. Anthony tried calling, and he said that it said something about a fax machine, and then it came back with like a fax machine noise at him.
It just happens every once in a while.
So if that happens,
call
just
back.
Call back, and it'll be better next time.
I don't. It does that every once in a while. I don't know what that is.
It's just a glitch in the system.
Also, join the Dharma Larmy. The best way to do that is by heading over to shopsamonade.com and pick yourself up a Dharma Lar shirt. I talked to Sam. He said the golden ticket's still out there.
Cool.
And look forward to that. And there are prizes and a chance to record with the Dharma Lars.
That's right.
If you find that golden ticket. That's shopsamonate.com.
Every army needs a uniform, and the Dharma Larmy uniform currently is the t-shirt. And it's a cool shirt. We've got pictures of people wearing it in some awesome places.
Yeah, on our MySpace page. So if you get a shirt, send us a picture, and we'll put them on our MySpace page.
That's right.
And once again, if you don't have a shirt,
that's right.
Ladies.
Ladies, if you don't happen to have a shirt.
Send us a picture of that.
DharmaLars@gmail.com. So that's about it for us, right, dude?
Yeah, that's it.
Okay.
You're going to do your sign out, and I'll think of one last minute like I always do.
Okay, well, we're very happy to have Lost back, and I'm looking forward to the next five episodes. And, thanks for coming along this week. Thanks for the producer Ryan and Seattle Jimmy. And as always, I'm Ben. Lost a la vista.
How'd an asshole like Bob get such a great kitchen? All right, you all, everybody. Thanks for the playlist, Jorge. I sailed the wild, wild sea, climbed up a tall, tall mountain. I met an old, old man beneath the weeping willow tree. He said, now if you got some questions, go and lay them at my feet. But my time here is brief. Hey, Dharma Lars, this is Elizabeth. I love you guys, and I want to say I love Ralph in particular for singing Reminiscing at the end of the latest podcast. That's a completely awesome blast from the past.
And I also wanted to say, when I was little, I used to think the chorus, the one where it goes, hurry, don't be late. When I was a little kid, I thought that said, Harvey, don't be late. Really, true fact. Well, love you guys. Bye.
Hey, Ralph and Ben, this is Amy in Little Rock. I had another dream that I had to share with you. It wasn't a lost dream, but it was a Darmalar's dream. Okay, here's how I think it went, because I just woke up and I'm trying to remember most of it. Ralph was involved, like, his mom was, like, involved with some, like, drug dealing or something, and I was working for the FBI, and I found out about it, and I, like, called you on my cell phone, and I sort of warned you, and then you put it up on, like, the internet, some kind of, like, fog thing, and the guy that was in charge, the FBI, like, wanted to know who the, like, leak was, and I was like, oh, crap, and so he kept me and these other girls that were, like, analysts, he kept them, like, hostage until we told him, and so we figured out a way to, like, a sting operation, and so they asked me, okay, well, who else do you trust? And I said, well, they're in Anaheim, so the only other person I know is Ben. And so we brought Ben in to, like, bust Ralph. It was awesome. And then I don't really remember much else, but, yeah, your mom the criminal, but then you were, like, publicizing the fact. Whatever. Anyways, thank you, Ben, for helping us bust Ralph. Talk to you guys later. Bye.
Hey, what's up, Donna Lars? This is Dree calling out of LA. Lost is finally back this week. For some damn reason, I don't know why, my DVR will not be taping Supernatural. Because it counts Lost as twice because of the past, present, and future episodes, or what have you. But, you know, whatever, it's Lost. I can record on anything. I haven't been up so much, went to the movies, I haven't seen Rambo yet, unfortunately. This was the second time I've seen Cloverfield. My partner in crime, Carla, she went to go see Cloverfield the first time, and this broad ended up throwing up repeatedly in the movie. What's going on? I mean, granted, we were sitting kind of close, but what the hell? She missed the two major parts. The first fight sequence with the rockets going all over, like it's Call of Duty 4, all going to hell in a handbasket. I mean, thank God she got out of the theater first, but she didn't make it past. we left the theater. You can see the trail of evidence. I was like, is that you? You didn't make it to the bathroom. That is disgusting. Oh, my God. Oh, I should have known something was up. She was like blaming it on talking about it's that time of the month or whatever the hell she told me. But this is bull. She just couldn't hack it. You know what I'm saying? So I guess, you know, if you ain't seen Cloverfield yet, you're a douche. I mean, I personally like the movie. I don't see how people need a fucking explanation for every damn thing. Let's all suppose it's some giant fucking Astro Boy or something just roll up hit California or something. Do you think we know what the fuck he came from or something? What the hell is wrong with you people? I don't know. People want life answers in movies when they, you know, just chill out. Look at the damn movie. Ah! What else? I for some reason, you know, I haven't checked Wikipedia or anything like that, but I think there were two monsters, and seeing half of it the second time, I think there were two, because, you know, I mean, this is spoiler, kids, just in case, you know, you didn't save your pennies and go to the matinee. It's a fucking spoiler for a fucking 3-week-old movie. But, you know, the first little battle sequence before the subway scene when they go down in the subway and whatnot, you know, that one looks smaller. I didn't see the tentacle thing coming from the back or anything like that. It had a tail, but I didn't see any, you know, and the other, you know, the octopus-like thing that happened, you know, that the, oh, shit, I shouldn't have said it like that, because I hate when people spoil movies for me. Whatever. Like the bridge scene, you know, the bridge scene. That looked like a, you know, like a octopus or a, my word. So, you didn't hear that. So, yeah, so it's like, you know, the octopus getting busy or whatever like that. It looked like an octopus thingamabobber to me, at least, that hit the bridge. So, I mean, I don't think the damn thing, but it kept going back.
Hey, Dharma Lords, this is Adam from Texas. I have to 100% agree with you that Cloverfield was freaking amazing with your review, like, yeah, hit the nail in the coffin. Amazing. Speaking of coffins, who the hell's in the coffin on Lost? Okay, segue to Lost. Bye.
Hey guys.